This is Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1. And today we have Gary Daugherty and Sarah Jones. Gary is from Planned Parenthood, and Sarah Jones is a feminist blogger. Today we're going to be talking about choice and some of the legislation that has been proposed recently, and how that kind of intersects with the Senate Bill 5 issue and labor rights. So we're going to be talking about women's rights and choice and current legislation.
All right, Gary, question that I often see is, why does this stuff happen at the exact same time? It's like the corporations come in, it looks like economic destabilization, shock doctrine, and they seem to lead with the issue of restricting choice for women. Why?
Well, you're asking the wrong person, because I can't, it's difficult for me to get in their heads, and when I try to do that, I get a headache. But I think it's a huge distraction. It's a distraction away from the real issues of the day, the issues that they campaigned upon for several months last year, and that was...
You mean jobs in the economy.
Jobs in the economy. That's all we heard for months and months. And it's interesting because some of the members, and I was over at the State House today for probably about 6 hours in hearings, and so I still have a headache from that. But they're getting very defensive, and whenever anybody brings up the fact that, you know, you told us you were worried about jobs in the economy, you're going to create jobs, you're going to plug the budget hole, why are you working on 7 anti-choice bills, an unprecedented number of anti-choice bills in the first weeks of the session.
Just in Ohio?
Yeah. 5 in the House, 2 in the Senate.
So, Gary, what are those 7 anti-choice bills? Can you summarize them or tell us more about them, please?
I'll try to quickly summarize them.
Yeah, it could take all day.
There are two post-viability abortion bans, actually three. Two of them are companion bills, the same bill in the House and the Senate. One would ban post-viability abortion and require a physician to perform viability testing at 22 weeks. And then the other one reduces that down to 20 weeks. So that's one set of bills. There are another pair of bills, one in the House and one in the Senate, that would make it more difficult for a minor to obtain an abortion through the judicial bypass process. Very briefly, of course, we want our daughters to come to mom and dad if they've got a problem, if they need our help. Sometimes mom and dad aren't there. Sometimes they are abusive. Sometimes they are addicted to drugs and alcohol and are not in a situation where they can help their daughter. So there needs to be an opportunity for them to bypass an absent parent, either physically absent or otherwise. And this legislation is making it more difficult for anybody under the age of 18 to access that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that we've heard about most often has been dubbed the heartbeat bill, and that would ban abortion at the first detectable heartbeat.
Yeah.
Our concern there is that that could happen, and quite possibly would happen quite frequently, before a woman even knows she's pregnant.
Right.
She discovers she's pregnant. I'm sorry. this option is no longer available to you.
Oh, that's pretty harsh. Sarah, what's your response to some of these proposed bills?
Well, I'm shocked and horrified by it, and As a survivor, it feels like there's someone trying to use my body against my will all over again. Someone is again trying to remove my say. I see it as a manifestation of rape culture in the United States.
Okay.
And I do consider it blatant misogyny.
Yeah.
And I think the Republicans have underestimated necessarily how much public support they have for these bills. The heartbeat bill is so radical that Ohio Right to Life hasn't even endorsed it.
Right. I understand that they were questioning whether it was constitutional.
Right. It's very questionable right. whether or not it would even withstand a legal challenge. Furthermore, within the heartbeat bill, there's not an exemption for a woman to get a termination to save her own life. So, again, I'm extremely confused because it seems like you completely lose the battle here. You lose the woman and the fetus. So I'm not even entirely certain what they're hoping to accomplish with these pieces of legislation.
Well, it seemed to me that one of the things they have accomplished is some of the most graphic and propagandistic testimony probably ever witnessed in the Ohio chamber. Is that part of the agenda, Gary, to get, you know, their core groups to be able to say whatever they want and offer testimony that you're not likely to have ever seen before in Ohio's history?
Yeah.
That's pretty awful.
I've worked in and around the State House for 25 years, and I've not seen over that span of time what I've seen in the last couple of weeks. We have had actual ultrasounds performed in the Health Committee. Two women, one with a 15-week-old fetus and one with a 9-week-old fetus, have had ultrasounds performed on their bellies right in front of the committee. I think that's taking advantage, too. And, you know, that's a medical procedure. I mean, I think we're using women as props.
Yes.
Is what's happening.
Yeah, that definitely occurs to me. I mean, I think for our listeners who may not have heard, Bob was referring to the testimony, quote unquote, of a fetus in Congress. So, that is pretty wild, pretty, I guess, unprecedented. And also definitely using women's, a woman as a prop. Like, so she, I assume, went in there voluntarily and, you know, what, didn't say anything herself, just presented her body to be tested, and they said that was the testimony of an unborn baby.
It was very telling.
It was, and testimony. And actually, no, it's not testimony. It's a picture of, you know, an ultrasound. It's not a testimony.
If I remember correctly, they even had difficulty with the younger fetus even detecting a heartbeat, so it was a little awkward for Lynn Wachtman and that crowd for a few minutes.
Yeah. Causing them to cancel the planned Do Sperm Have a Heartbeat hearing. So, Sarah, you've got a website. You've just launched it. What's it called?
It's called Ohioans for Choice, and the concept of the website was born out of some discussions that took place after the Ohio Walk for Choice that occurred on February 26, 2011, as part of a national campaign. And it was very well intended. We don't have an official headcount, but just from having attended and being there, I would say around 500 people marched.
Yeah.
It was a significant walk, even more so because it was organized on very short notice.
Yeah.
Just with a couple weeks to go, and people were out on the streets. We had representatives from area colleges like Kenyon and Oberlin. Yeah. People drove from quite a way to attend this walk, and well, there was no media coverage.
Having attended the walk, I have to say that it was a wonderful experience to gather with other feminist women and men and people of all genders. Mm-hmm. And that, it was absolutely a great feeling of solidarity. We did walk downtown, and there was a labor protest going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. And granted, there may be some conflict. Not everybody shares the same issues or the same mm-hmm. perspective on things. But I definitely felt a lot of solidarity there mm-hmm. With the workers and with a lot of feminist men and women and people of all genders there who were having a good time and, you know, talking about their experiences. And I definitely hope to see a lot more gatherings of that kind to show the support that we have for women's autonomy and for reproductive freedom for people of all genders.
Yes, very much so. So there was no media coverage, unfortunately. There was the Move On rally that you mentioned that occurred at the same time received front page attention on the Columbus Dispatch, but the Walk for Choice, which occurred simultaneously, was completely ignored. There were two articles in the state written about the Walk for Choice. One was written at the Kenyon Collegian, so kudos to Kenyon. The other was written by me for the Liberal Ohioan. So a fairly large demonstration and no media coverage. So that's the idea for this project. We are going to supplement the coverage, draw attention to ourselves, provide a networking resource for activists.
Great. And I hope that we'll have some things on the Free Press website about that as well. Bob, do you want to talk about that? That was, I know it was mentioned in our broadsheet. Do you want to tell about the broadsheet?
Yeah, the Free Press Express. We're trying to come out with the Free Press in a broadsheet in the tradition of the Great French Revolution, that we can get the paper out. And remember, the French Revolution was not the left revolution, but solidarity and fraternity and all those other good things. But we're trying to get it out because these issues are happening so quickly. We're looking at SB5, and suddenly you've got all these bills that we have to deal with. The question to Gary is, are some of these going to pass?
Yeah.
I think they all could pass. I mean, it's the environment at the State House now is such that I think they all have a legitimate chance of passing.
Even though we know that they appear on the surface to be, at least some of them, obviously
unconstitutional.
Yes. I mean, at least with viability, you're at that swing vote. Sandra Day O'Connor had mentioned that in, was it the Webster decision, the question of viability of the fetus. But the heartbeat bill,
that's not even dealing with fetuses yet.
Right.
Fetuses yet. There's no way everything, the blob of cell is going to be viable.
No.
So the question is, if these pass, this seems like the same tactic that was used in torturing people back in the Bush administration. You redefine torture or you redefine the viability of a fetus, and then you go through, even though you know that eventually they're going to say you can't torture these people or you can't deny them due process. Does it bother you that they're going to attempt to do this when probably from your perspective it is unconstitutional?
Well, I think from the perspective of everybody involved, it's unconstitutional. It was mentioned earlier that Ohio Right to Life doesn't support the bill. They acknowledge that it's unconstitutional. It would not pass muster in the courts. Their concern is that when this bill, too, is declared unconstitutional, that will be one additional layer of affirmation on Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
They don't want that. Others, however, have testified openly that their goal is to pass this bill, constitutional, unconstitutional, that's not for us to decide, and have it go through the courts and be the case that overturns Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. That's the strategy.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
Well, and maybe they think that if there's a baby Holocaust going on, that they'll stop it in Ohio for a while. Sarah, do you think that's true? Do you guys think that completely banning abortion would actually save lives?
No, I think it would cost lives.
Okay, what about preventing contraceptives from going out to people? Would that keep people from having abortions? Is that going to save lives?
No, not at all. In fact, the opposite. About half of all unplanned pregnancies end in abortion here in the United States. Contraception is obviously very effective in preventing these unwanted pregnancies. So it's really a self-defeating measure.
So along with this, right, they're gonna provide economic benefits to women who are under economic pressure, as the Scandinavian and European Union does.
Right.
So if a woman really wants to have a child, is this in the bills?
It's interesting you bring that up, because there was an amendment offered yesterday on the House floor to say, okay, if you're going to disallow abortion and force women to have to carry these pregnancies to term, then the amendment would say you need to pay for the healthcare, medical
healthcare
care of the child,
for the baby, for the mom,
education, you know, everything that goes into raising a child. And interestingly enough, the other amendments were voted on and, of course, defeated.
Right.
I've been around long enough to be able to predict that one, they weren't even going to have a vote.
So, I mean, I bet there's the conservative response to that would be, no, we don't think the state should be supporting the children. We think that these women should get married, right? Is that
yes.
is that what the response is? They
yes.
should get married and have their husbands support them, right?
That is definitely
so,
the attitude.
So what about the teenage girl who is molested by a family member and gets pregnant? What is she going to marry the father? You know, what about, you know, the people who leave their husbands because they're being abused and maybe their husband is getting them pregnant on purpose so they can be abusive. This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3
102.1. And Connie asking some interesting question. Are there rape and incest provisions in all these bills?
There are not.
No,
and one thing I wanted to follow up on what Connie was saying, there was testimony last week, I believe, because, of course, we're bringing up the fact that there is no rape and incest exception. And this particular individual feels that this is a woman's opportunity to triumph over the attack upon her.
That's what I've heard as well.
Carry the pregnancy to term, deliver your rapist baby, and you will have triumphed over the
well,
rapist.
What about,
so you're
gang raped when
by the Hell's Angels, and this will become a
so
triumphant moment?
My question for that about that is, what about when the rapist father sues for custody and tries to get in your life for the rest of your life as long as you're raising this child? I think that is, I mean, that's worse than being in jail, honestly, to be connected to a rapist.
It's a lifelong rape.
Abuser for your whole entire life. That's not acceptable.
But in the past, most of the studies have indicated that a lot of the supporters of Right to Life, while they're generally opposed to abortion, if it came down to their own daughter who was raped, it looks like they're on the other side.
Well, and we've also, it's not uncommon, we've heard this across the country, for those clinics that have protesters in front of their doors several days a week or several days a month. It's not unheard of to have one of the protesters that's been out on the sidewalk marching back and forth come in, get an abortion, and a couple weeks later, she's back out on the sidewalk protesting.
Wow.
So
protesting abortion?
Yeah.
Huh.
So,
how strange.
I mean, we've heard...
She knows where the clinic's at.
Yeah, right. We've heard that happen with some frequency, like I say, all across the country, where they are opposed to abortion...
Until it's time to get one.
Until they find themselves in a situation where perhaps they might need an abortion.
Would there be mass civil disobedience towards this? Not, I'm thinking with, you know, the rise of the morning after pill, to a large extent, is this even viable for them to think they can take away women's choice with the technology that's now available?
I think...
Or would they criminalize it? Would
I
they
think
not
they
have
criminalize
to criminalize
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This behavior?
That's the logical conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, it's astonishing to me how many anti-choice right-wing zealots there are who believe that run-of-the-mill birth control causes abortion, and therefore we shouldn't even have access to birth control. Let's take emergency contraception, the morning after pill, out of the equation.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, every regular birth control is taboo in the minds of too many.
Yeah, well, a tip for the ladies out there. I think that you can, if you do need to induce menstruation. I think it is possible to do that with regular birth control pills. Mm-hmm. So I would like the ladies out there to know that that's possible. And you should ask your doctor for instructions on how to do that, because your doctor will be able to instruct you how to use regular birth control to do that. And I am very supportive of anybody who wants to do that, because you'd only be able to do that in, you know, the first week or few months of conception. So it's not something that you would do later on. And I'd urge any of the women who are listening to this to ask their doctors exactly how that's done in case you need to do it.
Are any of these bills gagging doctors or making public doctor-patient relations as they've done in the past?
None of these bills appear to do that. What it does is place additional burdens on the doctors, additional reporting burdens and so forth. And
would those be public records in any way? Or
conceivably they could. I mean, it's hard to tell at this point. But, well, the reports would probably be filed with the Department of Health. Therefore, they could be public records.
Would that be like a statistics or about individual cases? Any idea about that?
I would hope that it would just be a compilation of statistics, as the abortion reports currently are.
Yeah.
We still have to respect HIPAA, and we
can't confidentiality.
Absolutely.
Although very early on in Ohio, when there was reporting, there were various groups that claimed they had a right to the information so they could advise.
Sure, and we all know as well as anybody that anybody can sue anybody over anything for any reason.
Right.
And those records, we would hope, if they have to be collected, would remain confidential,
right,
particularly
of
with
course,
patient
definitely.
Patient information on them.
All right. So we're here on Fight Back Radio with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell-Newton on 98.3, 102.1. We have Gary Daugherty and Sarah Jones with us in the studio talking about legislation that affects women's right to their own bodies. And here's an opportunity now for you guys to tell us about your websites, upcoming events, do a little PSA.
Okay, well, as I mentioned earlier, we have launched Ohioans for Choice, and the website for that is ohioansforchoice.tumblr.com. It's a participatory project. I want to emphasize that our submissions guidelines are available on the website, and we accept clearly music, audio, video, art, text articles,
great,
anything of that sort. And I know that there is another walk in the works. I'm still waiting for information from the head organizer about that. It will be available on the Ohioans for Choice website.
So another walk for choice?
Yes, but Ohio has not been confirmed as a participating city.
Okay,
so
we need to get on that.
Yes, I agree. And again, watch the Ohioans for Choice website, where we're brainstorming for ideas for future demonstrations. So
great.
And Planned Parenthood Affiliates of Ohio, our website is www.ppao.org. We try to post all of the testimony for bills on our website. Occasionally, we will have video clips or audio clips of testimony and questions and answers, full status of all the bills that we're following. So visit ppao.org for more information on legislative matters.
Great. And can you tell us more about the bills? Were there some bills that that we didn't cover yet? It sounded like there were seven of them, and
well,
I think we only talked about three.
Yeah, and some of them have companions in both. You know, they're a House bill, okay, and a Senate bill. I will say that the judicial bypass bill that I talked about earlier was passed by the House yesterday. One of the late term abortion bills that requires,
okay,
viability testing at 20 weeks was recommended for passage out of the House Health and Aging Committee this morning, well, this afternoon. So they are moving.
All right. And Senate Bill 5 news, what is that? It seems like Senate Bill 5 is also a gendered issue. Does somebody want to talk about that? Gender issues in Senate Bill 5?
I'd say it's very much a gender issue. when you're dealing with public sector workers, you're talking about a lot of teachers. Teachers are still predominantly women.
Yeah.
And there is a clause included in SB 5 that states that it is the strong policy of the state of Ohio that marriage is between a man and a woman.
Okay.
So that's also a gendered issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems like they've denied state workers already domestic partnership benefits, mm-hmm. whether those domestic partners are gay or straight. And so that affects all unmarried people living in partnerships.
Right.
And I think on the collective bargaining bill also, when we're talking about bargaining for benefits, healthcare benefits.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a clear connection between right. Collective bargaining and issues that Planned Parenthood is interested in,
yeah.
too.
And the great irony is, you know, they keep mouthing about the private sector, but the limited and nationwide were two of the first large corporations in the nation that offered benefits to same-sex partners yeah. and a variety of things that would be too liberal for the state of Ohio. But the corporations realize that's how you attract talented people through
right.
a range of benefits. Now, one of the analysis is that if you're going to come in with an economic shock doctrine, essentially do what the World Bank and the WTO does in the third world, bring it into a Midwestern state, is that you got to have your base in order. So the best way to do that is throw them the red meat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, throw them the abortion issue, because it's going to mean they're on your side, even perhaps as you've got their economic issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I think this is a distraction, but at the same time, it definitely is mobilizing the base to gather support for other things to come.
But if they pass, does it not become more than a distraction? You were saying, and what I'm thinking is every presidential election, they come up with some constitutional amendment, whether it's mm-hmm. defense of marriage. Could this not be the heartbeat bill or some variation, the viability bill, the way they drag their people to the mm-hmm. polls mm-hmm. in 2012?
Yeah, absolutely. We're concerned about that and are trying to think ahead. And again, at the risk of trying to get in their minds, trying to think of exactly that.
Yeah.
What could be brought to the statewide ballot in order to drive turnout in either direction?
Yeah. Well, I would just definitely like to encourage people to think for themselves on this issue. We're not trying to get in their heads. We shouldn't invent things for them or invent strategies and things for them. And in fact, I think that we should push our own dialogue and our own agenda and talk about the possibilities for women and women's freedom, for having domestic partnership benefits for people who are in relationships with each other, whether they're gay or straight or married or not. And, you know, really think about the world that we would like to see and work on that, on creating that, while, you know, at the same time, we're also kind of fighting these battles against people who are trying to take it away from women and take women's power over their own lives from them. We don't want to see rape victims having to deal with their rapist in a relationship as the father of their child for the rest of their life. That's I don't know if people really think about it that way. And so people need to understand that could be a possibility if they are trying to take choice away from women, that could be a possibility that might have very negative consequences that they don't want to accept.
One more time, the website, Sarah.
OhioWinsForChoice.tumblr.com.
Gary.
PPAO.org.
All right, and we hope to see everybody out there at the next Walk for Choice.
Definitely.
At the State House and, in solidarity with workers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Workers and women and working women.
Hopefully one large coalition that believes in choice and collective bargaining comes forward out of this, and that we become a more tolerant society that provides opportunities for everyone. And I'm hoping also that the coalition fights that no woman will have to have an abortion because of economic circumstance, mm-hmm. and that these people are forced to confront the implications of their policy and give real, real universal health care to all Ohioans.
Yeah, we need health care. We need contraceptives, condom programs to distribute condoms to college students, I think, is a wonderful thing that I believe Planned Parenthood has done around the OSU community. Educating people about their options is so important. So thanks, Gary, for being on our show. Gary Daugherty from Planned Parenthood. I have used Planned Parenthood to get, medical services, so it's something we really appreciate having. And Sarah Jones, thank you also for being a guest on Fight Back. This has been Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3, 102.1.